This Vasemis, in a piece dated Tafresh Lamed Beis, clarifies two different texts. He's discussing, first of all, a well-known Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Matos. Moshe introduces the laws of Nedarim with a phrase, Zeh HaDavar. Rashi contrasts this preface, this phrase of Zeh HaDavar, with a different phrase. Often Moshe begins his prophecy or his instructions with the words Ko Amar Hashem. Not only Moshe Rabbeinu, but Nevi'im also employ that terminology. Rashi's summarizing a Sifri in the beginning of Parshas Matos. So this is a shared language of Moshe and the other Nevi'im, Ko Amar Hashem. But unlike Ko Amar Hashem, the phrase Zeh HaDavar is Moshe's unique language. Or as Rashi says, Moshe was Mosif Aleihem Moshe Shenisnabe B'Lashon Zeh HaDavar. So evidently there are two systems of prophecy, two systems of interaction with Hashem. One is characterized by Ko Amar and it's joint to Moshe and other Nevi'im, but one is unique to Moshe and it's typified by the phrase Zeh HaDavar. The second text, which the Svasemis is playing off of or commenting on, is a Medrash Rabbah in the beginning of Parshas Matos, which is a general Medrash describing the viability or the desirability of Shavuos in general, in particular the need to stick to your word and adhere to your oaths or Shavuos in Nedarim. It alludes to a very interesting question, whether there's actually a mitzvah to take a Shavua with the name of Hashem. It's a very famous machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban. The general pattern of this Medrash is that if a person is close enough to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and refined enough in their character, then there's actually a mitzvah to say Hashem's name and associate it with truth. Assuming the Shavua is true, it's actually a mitzvah to affirm that association between a truthful neder or Shavua and the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it talks in general about a Shavua, and the Svasemes picks up on the role of Shavua, in particular in context of this Rashi discriminating and contrasting between Ko Amar and Zeh HaDavar. In Tafresh Lamed Beis, he quotes a phrase which doesn't really appear in our Medrash. I imagine he was writing by heart. And he quotes a very famous Gemara in Nedarim, Nishbati Va'akayema, David HaMelech voices in Perakuf Yutes and Tehillim, the desire to take an oath, to fulfill the oath. And Rav Gidol quotes in the name of Rav in Nedarim Davches, that a person can actually take an oath to be Mekayim a Mitzvah to reinforce his commitment and discipline towards the mitzvah. In later years, when he came back, the Svasemis, to the same discussion, he actually quoted the words of Shavua that appear in the Mishnah, in the Medrash, in Matos. And again, for our purposes, it's not as important which words he's quoting, the correct words that appear in our Medrash, or the general words, because he's trying to invoke the role of Shavua. There are basically four points to this Svasemis. Number one, which is the core, is explaining the contrast between Ko Amar Hashem, the joint language of Moshe and all the Nevi'im, and the phrase, which is unique to Moshe, Zeh HaDavar, which again appears in the Sifri, but the Sifri and Rashi don't provide the content of why they're different, and to a degree why Zeh HaDavar is superior. For the Svasemes, one represents the reality of our world. Our world is dark, our world conceals the presence of Hashem, and when we try to find Hashem, it can only be through metaphor and simile and parable and approximation, because we aren't exposed directly to Hashem's essence. That sense of parable, approximation, simile, metaphor, is conveyed by the word ko. Ko is when you equate two things. This is similar to that. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, who lived in a different sphere, Moshe Rabbeinu transcended the obscurity and the obfuscation of this world, and he was able to see Hashem so clearly that he could say Zeh HaDavar, which is much more precise. We would call it mathematic, precise, scientific, lucid, clear, unencumbered by anything concealing or distorting. So that's what makes Zeh HaDavar superior to Ko. And Moshe Rabbeinu was able to transcend the approximated view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that most Nevi'im reach, and he articulated as well, and he was able to sense a higher, more clear, and undistorted vision of Hashem. Now, for the Sfas Emes, this represents two different levels, not just of Nevi'im, but two different levels of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is the level that's more natural to our world, trying to decode Hashem through the veil, V-E-I-L, the veil of nature and the veil of our world that conceals him. There was a time that the Jewish people transcended as a nation to the level of Moshe, and they received at Har Sinai, after saying Nasa v'Nishma, they received their crowns. The language of crowns in the Gemara is Edyam. Adi is a jewel. Keser is a crown. Adi is a jeweled or a bejeweled crown. But for the Sfas Emes, the fact that the Gemara articulates it as Edyam, not Kitaram, means that it also contains the verb or the concept of Edut, even though Aleph or Ayin Dalet Yod and Ayin Dalet Taf or Ayin Dalet Vav Taf are very different roots. Remember in Chassidus, words don't have to have tight etymological parity to be equated. So Edyam doesn't just mean their crowns, but their Edut. Edut means they were able to have the clarity of testimony. As I mentioned last week in Parshas Pinchas, Edut has to be clear, has to be unmistakable, has to be static-free. So when the Jews received their Edyam, it wasn't just a crown to preen around in, but it was a sense of the clarity of their testimony, their Edut. And they were able to see Hashem and testify about Hashem with the clarity that Edim reach or have to reach for their testimony to be accepted and processed and based in. So it's not just Moshe Rabbeinu surpassing other Nevi'im, it's also two different tracks by which human beings can interface with Hashem. Typically, we're at the inferior track, the one of concealment, but there was a stage in history in which people transcended and surpassed Ko and joined Moshe at the level of Zeh HaDavar. And he doesn't articulate this that clearly, but I believe that's why Zeh HaDavar in Parshas Matos is directed to the Jewish people. Zeh HaDavar is not just Moshe's internal prophetic capacity, but it's directing it at people who had once experienced Zeh HaDavar. Now, his next point is to take this contrast between Ko and Zeh HaDavar and incorporate it into the contrast between the week and Shabbos. The week is Ko. The week is a week of living in this world, in a world which conceals Hashem. And Shabbos allows a upgrade to a different realm where you see Hashem clearly in the level of Zeh HaDavar. Now, this transition of metaphor from two different types of prophecy to two different times of the week is important, A, because it allows people to realize the contrast between religious experience during the week and religious experience on Shabbos. But also, as he writes, V'gam HaShabbos Talui B'mei HaMaaseh. We prepare for Shabbos during the week, so the two aren't just two independent tracks of interfacing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a process. You achieve Shabbos by preparing for Shabbos during the week, but not just preparing for Shabbos in the technical sense of cooking food and cleaning the house, but preparing experientially, of transitioning from the week to Shabbos. So, V'gam HaShabbos Talei B'mei HaMaaseh. K'ayidei Bechinas Ko, Shei Emunah, Zochen LeShabbos. Ko is not inferior to Zeh HaDavar. It is, metaphysically and prophetically, but to live under the conditions of Ko, when Hashem is concealed, takes a level of Emunah that you may not experience if you live under the system of Zeh HaDavar. When Hashem's presence is clear and unmistakable and undistorted, Emunah isn't as necessary as when Hashem's presence is concealed and inaccessible to the naked eye. So the Emunah that you experience through conditions of Ko grants you the privilege of reaching the level of Zeh HaDavar, just like the experiences of the week are necessary to enable the experience of Shabbos. So it's not just two levels, but there's a dynamic and a sequence between the two levels. And now he gets to his third point, and that's where he invokes the role of Shavua. He quotes the Chiddushei Harim, and for him, Shavua, similarly, playing off on the words of Sheva, Shavua, which is an oath, carries a commonality with the word Sheva, that there are seven traits in the human being, without getting into those seven traits, because right now, whether they're seven or six and what they are is not as important. But a Shavua, and a Shavua to affirm Hashem's presence, or a Shavua to fulfill a mitzvah, but a proper religiously motivated shvuah demands the accumulation and rallying of all human characters and all human features, all these seven, as he calls them, his asvus kol hazayin midos. So shvuah is taking all the scattered shards of human identity and incorporating them into one common purpose of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why this pasuk of Zeh HaDavar is specifically, again, the Sfas Emes doesn't articulate this, but that's why this pasuk, the only time the Torah uses Zeh HaDavar to describe the clarity which Moshe achieved, the clarity which the Jewish people achieved, the clarity which we at Har Sinai, clarity which we will one day hope to achieve. That's why this is used in the context of Shavuah, because the Shavuah is the way to achieve that clarity. Of course, not a legal oath, but the concentration of all, or the focusing of all human faculties and human potential towards understanding Hashem, Zeh HaDavar. And then his final point, and I think this is probably the one which is most characteristically Hasidish, is don't think, he says, that if you can't reach Zeh HaDavar, then this attempt is sheker. It's not true. As long as you have the will, and I'll read this in Hebrew because it's such an important and characteristic Hasidic statement, Sheyesh b'kol ish Yisrael ratzon emes bilti l'shem levado, every Jew, whether it's pronounced invisible or is embedded and polluted, every Jew has that undeniable desire to cling to Hashem. And therefore, the effort to reach that clarity, even if that effort is through dimionos, which is parables and approximations, it's considered truth, because this is a world of falseness, and the way to break out of the world of falsehood is not just to achieve the level of Zeh HaDavar and clarity, but the will, which is latent in every Jew, to achieve that. So even if you haven't achieved Zeh HaDavar, and you're still, so to speak, landed at the level of Koamar, that ratzon, that desire, is not just valid, is not just virtuous, but it's also reflective of our life in this world. And that's why that's the terminology that's so often applied to Nevi'im, to ratify and validate that terminology and that mental experience of that religious state of affairs, because if this is the language of Nevi'im, then this is a language that we can feel is healthy and meaningful. So it's a very, very complex Sfas Emes. I think part of the problem when people read Sfas Emes isn't the problem, but it reads so quickly, and you have to stop yourself and read it more slowly and just segment it and understand what he's saying and how they interact with one another and why his mind just works so quickly and his associations are so rapid and he moves so seamlessly from different levels of Nevuah to Shabbos to Chol to the Chiddush Yerim about Shavuah to that final point that I made. And if you just read it more slowly and segment them and appreciate or savor each level, of course part of it is understanding what the codes represent and what certain words mean. They're meant to be codes to Hasidic and Kabbalistic ideas, and people that aren't necessarily familiar with some of those backgrounds, so some of the nuances of the Sfas Emes aren't fully appreciated.